some of you that don't know, these people are leaving us, going to Italy. And Salcedo's are leaving us. I mean, next week's our last week. So, don't know. I passed this church 31 years, and I never get used to this. Just when we get some people in there that know what they're doing, behaving themselves, they leave me. And the rest of the people stay. Just kidding. Take your Bible today. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. If you're looking for a church that loves each other, that is it. And we count it a privilege to pastor this church. We've gone through some interesting troubled water in the last couple of years. But we know that God is in it, and we have been blessed. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 43, "And the king of Israel went to his house, heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria." And again, you find Ahab's disappointed. I want to talk to you about the disappointments of disobedience. The disappointments of disobedience. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 4. We read that in response to reading tonight. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word of which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. For he had said, "I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Kind of interesting portion of scripture here. Here's the king of Israel. He has everything at his fingertips. Anything he wants, he can have. You get it now. Don't miss it. He is the king. He speaks, and it is done. He speaks even the desire of his heart, even a whimper or something, and somebody's going to take care of him. They are going to really take care of him. If you have not found out that this life is full of disappointments, you will. You will find that circumstances always are getting in our way. Lord Byron said, "We are only pawns in the circumstances of life." A lot of things happen to us. A lot of things that we are told not to do, we go ahead and do it. And then, of course, we are disappointed because of our disobedience. Remember the story I've told you many times about my dad at harvest time. He'd always give me a couple bucks. I'd be down at the elevator in Midland, Michigan, take off up two blocks up. There's a hobby store, and I got a balsa wood airplane, my favorite thing in the world. And I look forward to every year. And I even bought one that had a rubber band. I twisted it up and let it go and it fly. Well, as we're going home, my dad says, I opened it up, and my dad said, "Don't put that thing together. It'll break. Don't do it. Don't put it together." And of course, you remember what I did. I did it. I broke the fuselage. And I thought to myself, with this great computer-like brain, "Hey, Elmer's glue would fix that, right?" But Elmer's glue is heavy, and that airplane never did fly. I was disappointed in my disobedience. I could have had a good flying airplane. Maybe could have fly three or four times. But no, I didn't even get to fly it once. Amen. There's a lot of broken things in life. Life is full of broken airplanes and broken toys and broken promises, broken bones, broken hearts, broken health, broken homes, broken spirits, and breakdowns. And the pressures that men face in this world many times will drive him to do things that you would never believe him capable of doing. Many good Christians one who have been Christians for many years, have sat underneath some greatest teachers and preachers of the world. I mean good, solid people like preachers and evangelists and missionaries and Sunday school teachers and college professors, men and women that have been trained in the ministry and have done, been greatly used and seen marvelous things happen in their lives and their ministries. I mean miraculous performers suddenly been brought far apart, literally blow up in the matter of moments and become a vapor because they have been disobedient. And that's what you and I are trying to do. We're trying to keep from being disobedient. I'm reminded of the scriptures that the iniquity of this world, the workers of iniquity and the problems that come in this world are just unbelievable. You just wonder, where in the world does this come from? The mystery of iniquity, Paul writes about over there in Ephesus. And I wonder many times when things are going on and all of a sudden something hits us in our brain or something, we have a thought. I really wonder if that's not the mystery of iniquity that Paul is talking about. Things come into our minds that we would never think about doing. What in the world would we even think about doing? Satan has such a vast toolbox of tools that he can use on us. And I don't know about you, but I get really frustrated about it. I get really fired up about it. I want to be like Job, who eschewed evil. He just could not stand being around evil. And the things that happen to us in our life, they just keep coming on us and coming on us, coming on us. It just seems like there's just a barrage after barrage. And boy, I'll tell you what. The only thing that will keep you from that is reading this Bible every day and praying every day. And giving God the problems to him and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this, but I need you to help me in this thing. Many times my prayer will be, Lord, I did not ask to go through this, but I am going through these things in my life, and I trust you in it. I know that you're trying to do something for me. I know you're trying to teach me something. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, first of all, I'm not a dog. And no, I still can't stand on my hands. But I can beg. My dear friends, you better listen to this old preacher. There's no telling what will happen when a man leaves the will of God. When he walks away from the clear teaching of the inspired, preserved Word of God, this old book. Sins will take you farther than you ever expect to go, keep you longer than you ever expected to stay, keep you down longer than you can stay, and cost you more than you expected to pay. It's a wicked world we're living in. I'm reminded of the story about the old preacher who told of a man that was questioning folks' reason why not being faithful to their regular services of the local church. He said, I just can't understand why people won't come Sunday morning, Wednesday night to church, Sunday nights. And so he said to his congregation, who had given him a lot of excuses that we're not attending church, and he gave it on Sunday morning, he said, most of them are very lame, so one morning, he told his congregation, I want you to consider these same excuses that I'm hearing from you. It would sound like the excuse you give about washing yourself. He said, number one, I will not wash myself because I was forced as a child. People who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than everybody else. That's why I won't force myself. There are so many different kinds of soap, I can't decide which one is best. I used to wash, but I got bored and stopped. I love this one. None of my friends wash. I start washing when I get older and dirtier. I can't spare the time. The bathroom is never warm enough in the winter and cold enough in the summer. My favorite. Number 10. People who make soap are only in it for the money. Pretty ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Today I want to give you a list of Bible characters that were disappointed by their disobedience. I have really cried over this. I've read these and it just pains my heart when I read it. I know that I've read it many times, but it still pains me when I read these. Adam and Eve were disappointed they had to leave the beautiful Garden of Eden. Because God said, don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You eat of that tree, you will surely die. That's why Adam and his wife Roberta have a funeral to go to because of sin. That's why I had, I don't know how many funerals I've had this year. Because of sin. Sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And death by sin. Secondly, I think Cain was disappointed when he was marked forever for his first murder. How stupid to get mad at somebody so mad! Kill your own brother. Lot's wife was disappointed when she was disobedient. Lot's wife, God said, don't turn back, go straight. And she turned back. She became a pillar of salt. A direct violation of God's word. God said, do not turn back. Paul the Apostle said, he said, I'm not turning back. I'm going for the mark. I'm going for the goal. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to look at things that happened to me before. I don't know about you, but if you're saved a little later in life, you know there are some things in our life that are just not too cute and not too sweet to think about, and it burdens our hearts. Things that have happened to some of you that as a child, maybe someone did something bad to you. If you keep turning back to that, let me tell you something, it'll destroy your life. You're seeking God. You're seeking what you can do. You are making sure that your children do not get put in that same position that you were put in that caused you to compromise or caused you trouble. And so you're watching. That happened to you maybe for good. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them and called according to His purpose. You said, but Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. God said, He said He'll forgive you and He'll put those things behind you and you press towards the mark of the high calling of God. I deal a lot with a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder being a chaplain at the County Sheriff's Office. I've spoken on that thing a lot of times. The more I read in the scriptures and more I feel, I really wonder if it's not that a man will not keep thinking about it, he'll just keep thinking about it, 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 he can't think about anything else instead of going on. Yeah, a lot of bad things happen to us. All of us. I've been pastoring 31 years here. I know many of your stories, many of your things of your life. Many of you have confided in me, and that will go to the grave with me. But I will tell you, if you keep thinking about that stuff and keep pushing about it and keep telling everybody about it and keep telling people about it, it will own you. It's kind of like when my cousin got hearing aids for the first time. He was an old geezer, old voice here. And he wore them hearing aids because he couldn't hear without them. And my dad had the same problem. And when my dad got his hearing aid, I remember my cousin Floyd told my dad, now, Claire, don't let those hearing aids run you. You run those hearing aids. And what he's saying is stick them in your ear and leave them. I'll tell you what, when I got my hearing aids for 13 days, this is the most, I was the most miserable. I wanted to eat everybody. I wanted to run over cats. I wanted to bite dogs. Man, because the world is very noisy when you don't have good ears. It's very noisy. Man, I stuck those in my ears. Oh, my eyeballs went. And I remember my cousin telling my dad, don't let those hearing aids run you. I remember my dad taking them out and just put them down. He didn't stand it. He get on them big old John Deere tractors, he'd pull them out. That's probably why he had to wear hearing aids, amen. And he never got used to them. He just take them out of his ears. And I said, bless God, he's all here and they ain't running me. I'm running them. And I will tell you something, I'll to die if I cannot have my hearing aids in now. It took about 13 days. After that, hey, I can hear things, finally. I've changed my will 3 times now. He said to me the other day, you heard that? I said, yeah, I heard that. I got my hearing aids in. I take my hearing aids off. I ain't hear nothing. You ask these ladies to come over to help me at the house with Marcia. I got my hearing aids out there talking to me, and my life is good. I don't hear them, man. That may be a good idea. No. Number 4, Moses was disappointed. He lost his privilege to go into the promised land. At the first time they needed water, God said, hit the rock. Hit the rock. Water came gushing out of that flint rock. Enough to water 3.5 million people in their flocks. Isn't that incredible? That's a lot of water. Then again, they needed some water and they started to gripe and complain. And Moses, the Bible said, I just read it the other day in the Psalms, that Moses, he just lost it. Now Moses is the guy that said, now God, I can't speak, so I need my brother Aaron to come and help me, right? The second time, Moses took his stick, and I don't know what he said, but it must not have been good because he lost his passport to the Holy Land. Amen. God said, because of that, you're not going to the Holy Land. And the Bible said the people grieved. And I think I was speaking about that Wednesday night. You want to be careful. You don't grieve your preacher so much that he falls into sin. And he hit the rock instead of speaking to us, and he ruined God's plan of teaching that salvation is by grace through faith. Because God could have used the first time when he hit the rock and said, that was the law. This is what you have to do. But then the second illustration would have been perfect when Moses would have said, water come forth. But he didn't. He didn't. He ruined God's plan of teaching of salvation by grace and faith, not of works. And of course, he was never able to go into the Holy Land. I think of the children of Israel's disappointment. 40 years of travel. They saved approximately 13 days. Can get from the land of Goshen through the Red Sea on the other side into Jordan about 13 days. Spent 40 days. I mean 40 years. 40 long, horrendous years. 40 years. And the people that were 21 years and older died on that side, on this side of Canaan, because of disobedience. They would not go where God told them to do. Disobedience. I think of Achan. Achan was disappointed when he was destroyed because of it. He looked at the Babylonian treasures. He desired them. He took of it, and he, in direct violation of God's word, God said, "Do not take anything from these Babylonians." Nothing. And he did. And what did he do with them? Hid them in his tent. You know, some people want something so bad, and once they get it, they don't know what to do with it. Hey, can you wear those wonderful, beautiful Babylonian garments out in public? No, he couldn't do that. Could he spend the gold and the silver? No, there's no place to spend it. Duh, why did you take it? A lot of Christians are that. God gives them so much so they can help and do things, and they keep it, and they store it, and keep it, and store it, and then they die, and it's still there. What good did that do them? Oh, I'm just saving for the future. You may not have a future. Who takes care of it? God said, hey, Lord, We want to know how to pray, the disciple said to the Lord. The Lord said, okay, this is how you do it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Period. That's all we have. That's all we have to hope for. Our daily bread. Our daily bread. And it looks like all of you getting some daily bread. I just got some pastries along with it, amen. He was disappointed. Hey, now listen. Because it is direct violation of the Word of God, the next day they go after Ai. And Joshua said, hey, just send up a few guys up there. They went up this little dinky city. And they got whooped. 36 men are killed. How many fathers are they? And how many children don't have daddies anymore because there's one guy who stole something that he couldn't wear, that he couldn't spend, direct violation of God. Samson was disappointed. And he was disgraced in his final destruction. God allowed him to be caught. He lost his strength. He ground at the mill like an ox. He became, because he was unwilling to stay away from the lust of the flesh. I want that. I don't care what. I want that. Mom and Dad said, you shouldn't take your girl from there. No, I want her. We want her right now. I want her right now. I want her right now. Boy, that sounds pretty clear about some people today, amen. Eli, unwilling to discipline his two sons, he was disappointed, for the glory of the Lord was departed from the tabernacle. God does not allow sin to be getting away with. Be sure your sins will find you out. Whatsoever man sow, he'll reap. I was reading the Bible the other day. The Bible said that God, he will not always chide. One of these days, you ever have a kid and you say, now don't do that. Now don't do that. Now don't do that, man. You're giving them grace, 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 mercy. Finally, judgment. I said, don't do that. Go to your room. I'm the judge. I'm the executioner. I'm going to get the thing done. Eli says, boys, you shouldn't do that. And that was it. Do you realize what Eli's sons were doing? Oh, my soul. Read it for Samuel. First Samuel, the first couple of chapters of what they were doing. Their father was the high priest. Boys, you shouldn't do that. Well, Eli, the law says, if a man does that, they're to take him out and stone him. You know, there are some sins I'll tell you a story. When I was a little boy, I remember in the morning I heard bang right outside our house. My dad walks in with a shotgun, put the shotgun back there. I said, what'd you do? He said, I just killed the preacher's dog. I said, you know what? I just killed the preacher's dog. I said, why? He said, he was chasing the sheep. And he said, son, once the sheep get the taste of blood, they'll never stop. The only way you can do it is kill them. I said, really? He said, yes, sir. I went to church. After church, my dad walks up to the priest and said, hey, Pastor Lindsay, I got to inform you that I killed your dog this morning. Claire, that's my dad. What'd you do? You killed our pet? Yes, I did. He said, why? He said, I was chasing my sheep this morning. He said, well, couldn't you give him a chance? And my daddy says, preacher, there are certain things you can't give the second chance. God bless you, law enforcement people, for taking care of things. Thank God for a detention center up here that keeps people off the street that would hurt us and take advantage of us. That's why we have laws. We could not live. Now, if it's just you and me, pretty much we could live together. But if you got some of my little grandgirls and my little grandboys, and you're going to hurt them, there's got to be some law, because if there's no law, I'm going to kill them. So they ain't going to touch my little girls. They ain't going to touch my little boys. What'd you say, man? You know, the same people that make all these liberal laws are the same people that are saying, hey, I don't want that to happen to me, but it's okay with the other ones. You know, amazing. I'm not being political. I'm just being biblical. And Eli should have took care of the stuff, but he didn't. And it caused great, great, great famine to the country because of what he did. David. Probably the most shocking story in the Bible. David. To me, it's shocking beyond measure. The man after God's own heart, one selected to be king of Israel and his ancestry to the Lord Jesus Christ. One selected to write the beautiful Psalms, fell into adultery and committed murder. Four times the Bible judges him because of that. One, his illegitimate child died. Two, his daughter Tamar was raped by her brother Ammon. Three, Ammon murdered Absalom's, Tamar's brother. And son Absalom rebelled and took over the kingdom away from his father and publicly laid with his father's wives. Whatever a man's soul he reaps. It ain't over yet. That's why we find grace and mercy in God. That's why he says, if you come to me, I will forgive you of your sins. I will throw your sins in the deepest sea, never to remember them again. I'll take your sins and throw them as far as the east is from the west. They'll never come back. Hallelujah. In the deepest sea. And that's why we need to take care of that right now. And we need to make sure that our hearts are right before a holy God. I think of Ahab's disappointment, and that's the scripture we read today. He was heavy and displeased. All God told King Ahab was, I want you to utterly destroy the kingdom of Syria. Everything. Some people are like King Ahab. You think that you know how to run things even better than the Almighty God. So God told him, you are going to lose your kingdom. He came home heavy and displeased. He had just lost the kingdom over a little parcel of land. He could not be sold to him because it was the property that was passed on from father to father to father. It's just a few acres. No, you cannot have that land. And he is a king. He could have a lot of other stuff, but he just wanted that little place right outside of Samaria so it could be his. So no, you can't do it. Nabal said, that's my inheritance. That's from my grandparents. That's passed down all our lives. We can't sell it. It's unsellable. And he was upset. Disappointments in others. When you get mad at God, I promise you that you'll get mad at his people. What a disappointment was for Paul when Demas forsook him. He wrote, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul had lost the people, lots of people leave him. But he thanked God. He said, I just keep marching on. There's going to be a lot of people in your life that are going to disappoint you. There's going to be a lot of people in your life that you have, boy, you've got to set them up there. And you say, boy, watch him. Look at me. You got him up on the pedestal. Boy, he'll never do wrong. Yes, he will. He'll disappoint you. There's only one who won't disappoint you. His name is Jesus Christ. Your fathers will disappoint you. Your mothers will disappoint you. Your children, your sisters, your brothers, your grandmas and your grandpas, they'll disappoint you. Your best friends, they'll disappoint you. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one who will not disappoint you. That's Jesus. Now, I hope that we have enough love in our heart that when someone disappoints us, we can look at it and say, you know what? I guess I can go with what God said. I know your frame, it's but dust. God said, I know what you're really made out of. I know that you will fall. I know you'll slip. But God always, in His wonderful, He said, His faithfulness is renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And help us to realize that, yes, there are people who are going to disappoint us. But hey, you know what? You've probably disappointed some other people too. So I guess you're in the same shoe as the other cows. Amen. That's a little ranty there, but anyway. I didn't say rank, ranty. Ranch, you know. You're in the same shoes as the other cattle, too. We're all the same. We may be a little different color, but we're made out of the same stuff. Dust. And where I'm from, dust does not hold very much stuff. It just clutters. And that's what we're made out of, dust. I heard one guy say, man, that means we're just an old dirt ball. I'd rather say dust ball. You think of those who disappointed the Lord. The greatest moment of all time when prayer was so vital and needed so much. Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and took them to a place on the Mount of Olives. And he said, I want you to pray for me. And go, the Lord, the Bible said that he was a stone's throw from them. And he's praying. And he didn't hear him praying. He heard snoring. He walked over and said, hey, can't you just pray for a little bit? Oh, yeah, we'll pray. Yeah. Sleeping in Jesus, amen. Boy, you talk about disappointment. How about when Jesus looked at Peter after Peter had cursed and swore? You talk about disappointment. But the one thing I find about God, the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was disappointed, he still loved them. The Bible said he loved them unto the end. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope today that you just think about disappointments. You'd realize that there is a price to pay when we go against the principles of the Word of God. You understand that? There's a price to pay. You say, well, it's not all my fault. No, but some of it was your fault. Well, I can never forgive them for what they did to me. Jesus said, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. So all of us, we can't use, well, hey, I'm not going to forgive you. Can't use that. If you're a Christian this morning, if you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, if you've asked Him to come to your heart, you've asked Him to be your personal Savior, and something happens to you, and someone, I mean, they just flat out slam dunk you. And they turn around, they realize they've wronged. The Bible says you're to forgive them. But I got something even better than that. Did the people ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them for whipping him and put him on the tree? He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. So I guess none of us can hold a grudge. Get over it right now. Get over it right now. No one can hold a grudge. Though you've been disappointed by others' disobedience, and though you have disappointed by your disobedience, let me tell you something. You are not to hold a grudge according to God's Word. Well, I'm not going to talk to her anymore. I don't see that in my Bible. Your new Bible probably do. One of them new Bibles probably say that. One of those new NRIV, DBDD, Good Night, whatever that is. You can't get away with it. You say, but preacher, look what he did to my life. And God says, look what they did in my life. And I did said, Father, forgive them. You said, I'm not doing it. Well, you live the way you want, and I'll live the way I want, but I think that going the Bible way is the best way. Some of you need to forgive some people. Some of you need to get over it. Some of you have been divorced. And you have some real heavy stuff. Heavy stuff. Some of you have been molested. You have some real heavy stuff. You need to get over it. I'm not saying be stupid and allow it to happen again. I'm just saying you need to get over it and know that God forgives us and we need to forgive them and we need to get on with life. This is a wicked world we live in. A lot of junk going on out there. But there's a God in heaven that says, this is the formula of a happy life. This is a formula of a long life. If someone offends you, go to them. If you've offended somebody, go to them. He said, it's always on my part, not their part. It's my job. I really don't care whether it's going to give him a warm, fuzzy feeling or not. I've got to do what the Bible says. I've got to do what Scripture says. I've got to live for God. I've got to serve God in the way that I should serve God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, he reaps. Some of you need to come to Christ today and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I've never made you my personal Savior. I want to do that today. I want you to be my Savior today. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of fighting this thing. I want you to be my Savior. Second, there's some people here today that really have some deep wounds in your heart, in your life. You need to confess it to God. Quit being so proud of yourself and saying, hey, I'm the one that's hurting here. I'm the only one. You need to get rid of that. Get rid of that pride. And say, God, here's the things I've been holding in my heart. And I don't want to hold that no more. I want to get on with life. There's some here today that probably are saying, you know, I don't know which way to turn. Best thing I found out is just turn to the Lord and say, dear God, teach me in this blessed word. Show me in the word of God where I may walk and how I live and how I ought to think. This old mind, whoo, it's a bad thing. Man, it just keeps turning and turning and turning. You know, my computer, I can go and delete. You can't do that with this thing. That's why God said, hey, be careful what you do. Amen. So that little girl and boy's song, this thing, be careful little hands, what you do. Careful little feet, where you go. Careful little eyes, what you see. Careful little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above. Huh? Yeah. This Christianity business is just for a bunch of children. And we're children. I don't care how old we get. We're still little children. We're God's children. And sometimes we just need to crawl up on Jesus' lap and say, Lord, I don't know what to do about this thing. But I know you do. And the closer I get to you, the more I'll know how to react and do what I'm supposed to do. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Though we have disappointed many, though we have hurt many, Lord God, I pray today that we would put this in right perspective, and we would take these things that we have learned and things we have gone through in our lives and say, God is good in my life. I don't understand the things going on, but I know one thing, that God is good. And God allows me to go through things to teach me, to strengthen me, to make me better, to help others. Lord God, would you help me today to be patient with you? In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure of that. And I need to take care of that today. Would you right there where you're sitting say, preacher, I need to ask Jesus in my heart. Would you lift your hand today? I need Jesus Christ. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? In a moment, I'm going to give what we call the invitation. That means we invite people to come down the aisle. Invite people to come to Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you that opportunity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come at this time? Meet me up front. Come right now. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that today. Why don't you come right now? Come on, let me show you from the Bible. Come on, come on. Help me, workers. Hey, Mary, you want to ask Jesus in your heart today? Oh, that's great. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I'd sure like to know that. Are you on your way to heaven? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart? If you haven't, come on, let me show you from the Word of God. It's the greatest day of your life. I was 14 years old when I did. Some of you wait a little longer. You need to ask Jesus in your heart. Hey, if you die today, where would you go? Right now. Right now. Right here, right now. Where would you go? You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, let me show you from the Bible. I'm not making a Baptist out of you. That's not my point. My point is making sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Why don't you come? How about Dad? How about Mama? How about Sister? Come on. Let me show you from the Bible how you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Come right now. Come on. Come on. Ask your friend to come along with you. Say, will you come with me? Will you come with me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, the way this world is going, I'll tell you what, boy, the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Never in the Bible, not one place in the Bible does it say salvation is for tomorrow. It says today is the day of salvation. If Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now, He may never speak to you again. The way He's speaking to you now, come on right now. Come on. Let God deal with your heart. Come on. Hey, while we're standing here, if someone said, I want to get saved, and they started walking out of the aisle, what would you Christians say? Amen. That's right. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. You come right now. Come on. Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come this time? Again, you're here today and say, preacher, if I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I just am not sure about that. The Spirit of God has been poking me in the heart, and I need to do that. Why don't you come right now? Won't you please come? Let me tell you something about Baptists, okay? We believe in the doctrine of free will. We're here. We advise you, we give you an opportunity to ask Jesus Christ as a Savior, but we will not grab you and drag you down this aisle. I promise you that. That's not in our doctrine. That's not in our teaching. But boy, we sure love you to come. We sure love you to know Jesus as your Savior. Greatest day of your life to know Jesus. hear today say, "Preacher, I'm not saved." Come on, you need to be baptized. That's in down in deep water, down the water, up out of the water. Come on. Hear today and say, "Preacher, there's some things God's speaking in my heart today. Why don't you come? There's some things that I've been disappointed about. There's things I've disappointed others about. Just come on up and use this altar up here and just have a word of prayer with God." One more time, you're here today and you haven't asked Jesus in your heart and you want to, you come right now. I promise you, at the great white throne judgment, when God asks you, "Why didn't you ask Jesus in your heart?" He's going to ask you that. The Bible said, "It's appointed on a man once to die and then the judgment." That's going to happen. Why don't you come right now? Boy, we still got time. Come on, come on, come on. Still have time. Don't let another moment go without Jesus. Praise the Lord for these who trust the Lord as a Savior. Jeannie Dess, you want to raise your hand at me? She has Jesus in her heart. Amen. How old are you, Jeannie? 10. I'd like to have that written on these. All right, so when you're done. Kaylee Nickerson. And how old are you, Kaylee? And ask Jesus in her heart today. And Haley Nordell. Right? How old are you? 8, you got Jesus in your heart? Wow, that's great. Amen. And Mary today came to our church and she got saved today, asked Jesus in her heart, and she's getting baptized. So if you're really in a hurry and you need to leave, you can go right now. But if you'd like to see a beautiful illustration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, seeing a lady that is willing to do the first thing God asked you to do. You know, the Bible says they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day. I'm working on a sermon or a tract. I don't know whether it's going to be or not, but it's about all the people who got baptized. And everybody in the Bible who got baptized was the same day during the time of Christ, except for Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle saw God met him on the road to Damascus, blinded him. And it took him 3 days to find the preacher. And when he found the preacher, he got baptized. Amen. So that's our. So if you have not followed Lord Jesus Christ and believe in baptism, that down in the water, up out of the water, what you're doing, you're showing people that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the third day. You rose from the third grade. Did you hear that? On the third day. It was the third day, not third grade, all right, Rosa? Some of you, That'd be good if you did raise out of the third grade. I had a little hard time myself, but anyway. Rose on the third day. That's what you're doing. You're going down in the water, up on it. You're saying, I believe that with all my heart. Baptism is a beautiful thing. Baptism, not throwing a bunch of water at you. Baptism was an illustration. Down in the water. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6 that so many of us were baptized in his death and rose in resurrection. And then he says is that we were planted and rose again. And he said, well, for some of you old farmers, you don't get it. It's like putting a seed in the ground and all of a sudden it raises up again. And he said, that's what baptism's all about. That's wonderful. Raising to a new life. Amen. So, oh, man. I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for coming. Amen. And they should be about ready here.